Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Meir Turin. Maseches Yevamos has been dedicated in honor of Rabbi Aaron Kaufman, Rosh Yeshivas Ateres Shmuel of Waterbury.
Today we're going to be talking about Maseches Yevamos Daf Kuf Hei. Now the Gemara previously on Daf Kuf Dalet on the Beis had brought down Shalchu Leilu Avua de Shmuel. They sent to the father of Shmuel Yevama Shirakaka, a Yevama who already spat at one of the brothers. The halacha is that now she can only do chalitza, she cannot do yibum anymore. From here we see that through the rakika itself, she becomes nifsal on the brothers for yibum. And the only etzah for her now is chalitza. Now the Gemara says that this halacha is delay Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Akiva, because at this point the Gemara assumes that according to Rabbi Akiva, the rakika itself will not passel her upon the brothers. On this, however, the Gemara asks on the end of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Demi Amar Rabbi Akiva Rekika Lai Pasla? Did Rabbi Akiva hold that Rekika itself does not make the psul? After all, we have a braisa which says that if the Yavama removes just the shoe, the halacha is that the chalitza is kasher even though there was no Rekika. And this obviously does not work out like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer had held that anything which is a maisa, anything which is an action that the Yavama is doing is ma'akev, and Rekika falls under that category. So El Kach, this braisa that says that the chalitza itself, removal of the shoe, even without the rakika, it's still a valid chalitza, is forced to say this braisa goes according to Rabbi Akiva. The chalitza itself is good enough. And yet, in that very same braisa, it says that if she's raikik, if she spits at the yavam, even without removal of the shoe and the kriya of the parsha, the din is that it makes a psul. And we can say that the kavan of the braisa is that it says that there's a psul. It just means that she's possible from getting married. I mean, that's obvious. Obvious just spitting itself is not enough to imater la'alma. Al-Karch, the kavana of psul that we're referring to over here in the braisa is that it makes a psul even to the brothers. And al-Kapanu, we see clearly that according to Rabbi Akiva, even Rekika itself makes the psul on the brothers. Now in that braisa, though it says that if she spits alone, that makes a psul. However, that very same braisa says if she's just carry the parsha by itself, that would not make her pasul on the yavam. And the Gemara wants to know, what is the difference? How come when there's kriya without rakika and chalitza, inkam base mechlish, it does not even make a psul? And yet when there's rakika, the spitting, without the kriya and the chalitza, over there is a psul. The Gemara answers that when it comes to the kriya saparsha, in the chalitza procedure, there's a kriya that happens before the removal of the shoe, and there's a kriya that happens after the removal of the shoe. And therefore, even if we would say that she's allowed to go ahead and be have yibum, even after a kriya, people will not make a mistake and think that she has a heter to do yibum even after a chalitza is done, because people will assume this must have been just the kriya that happened before the removal of the shoe. And therefore no kilkul could come about. Mashenkin, when it comes to spitting, since in the chalitza procedure, the spitting is supposed to take place after the removal of the shoe, so even though over here there was no removal of the shoe, but people don't know that, they just see that she spat, and yet she went ahead and did yibum afterwards. So people will say that one is allowed to yibum even after a chalitza. And therefore when it comes to rakika, and we make a psul, when you say after rakika, though there was no chalitza or kriya, the rakika itself makes her pasul upon the yavam. What comes out from our suya is that this day Rabbi Akiva holds that a yavama shirakaka becomes now asa to the yavam is a gzera derabbanan. That since, generally speaking, the rakika comes after chalitza sandal, people mistakenly might say that one can do yavam after chalitza. And therefore the din is that as long as she does a rakika no matter when, it makes her possible upon the yavam. However, if one looks in the Rambam in Perek Dal Mehilchos Yibum Halacha Yudalid, the Rambam writes a fascinating thing. The Rambam writes, Rakuka b'chud hareizu kachalitza psula. If she just spits alone, that itself is considered like a chalitza psula. Karu l'chud enoklum. However, if she just reads the parsha, the psukim, that is nothing. Shenemar, the Rambam then proceeds to bring in a pasuk. Kacha ye'asa le'ish. So he should be dumb to the man. Hamaisa shehu achalitza v'harakika hu shemayil. Only an action similar to removal of the shoe and spitting, that's what makes the problem. Avo akriya eino ma'akeves v'eino ma'elis. However, the kriya Your reading of the parasha is not ma'akiv, and it does not help as far as making a psul either. The Magen Mishnah over there points out, this says the Rambam paskins, that when she spits itself, makes a psul. He says that's mavur in the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph, according to Rabbi Akiva, who he paskin like him, that he holds that there is a psul with Rekika alone. However, the Magen Mishnah is very bothered with two very powerful questions on the Rambam. Number one, he says, the Rambam is mashma, that this that the Rekika itself makes a psul is a halacha min ha-Torah, from the fact that the Rambam quotes a pasuk, kacha ye'yasa le'ish, where from there the Rambam darshins anything which is a ma'isa, like the removal of the shoe and the spitting, hu shemayel, that's something which makes a problem. Ashenkin kriya, which is not a ma'isa, is not ma'akev and is not ma'elis. But the Gemara says clearly that this, the Rekika alone, passes according to Rabbi Akiva, is not because of any pasuk, but rather it's a gzera derabanan, that because Rekika is something that happens after the removal of the shoe generally, if we'll be matur to do Yibum after Rekika, people will mistakenly think that she had chalitza done, and yet she's still mutter lis yabim. But yet the Rambam brings down that it's a drasha from a pasuk. Number two asks the Magen Mishnah that according to Rabbi Akiva, who we paskin like him, we don't darsh in the pasuk kacha ye'ase, that anything which is an action is what the pasuk is referring to. This is the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer. But rather, according to Rabbi Akiva, we darshin only kacha ye'ase le'ish, only something which is an action in the man, in the yavam, the hainu, the removal of the shoe by itself. A rekika, spitting, which is not considered a ma'isa be'ish, the pasuk is not going on, and therefore the Magen Mishnah ends off with a tzarech in on the Rambam. Now, as far as what the Rabbi Magid writes, that the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva, because the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, so is mavur as well in the Rambam in Perek Dal and Alchi Yibbeis, where the Rambam paskins that the removal of the shoe itself is a kasher chalitza, and is not necessary to do the rekika as well. Even though Rabbi Akiva is arguing with Rabbi Eliezer, who was his Rebbe, Afilu Haki, the Archoner, writes in his Sefer Bikur Yaakov, in the end of the Sefer, in Tosefes Bikurim, in Simen Tafresh Chafei Sifkatim Beis, that even though Rabbi Eliezer was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, Mikol Makam, since Rabbi Eliezer was put into Cherim, he was a Shmutzi, therefore we always follow the Psak like Rabbi Akiva. Over there he's writing a tshuva, as far as this, that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, even though he's chelik with Rabbi Eliezer, his rabbi, and he brings over there kama mekaymus and shas, and one of them is our Gemara, where we see that we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, even against his own rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer. But however, as far as this other kasha on the Rambam, number one, why is he quoting a pasuk if according to Rabbi Akiva, the whole psul is only a psul midrabanan, and number two, the drasha that he uses, l'chaira, the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer, not the drasha of Rabbi Akiva, this is adayin sarchin. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Ika da amri some say, hachi sholchei lavu de Shmuel, this was what was sent to lavu de Shmuel, yavam mashiraka b'tchila, a yavam who ended up spitting before the removal of the shoe, tachlaits, now she just goes ahead and removes the shoe, it is not necessary for her to spit another time after she removes the shoe. On this, the Gemara asks, but don't we need kasidron? It has to be in the Seder, the way it is written in the Psukim. And in the Seder of the Psukim, the Rekika comes after the removal of the shoe. So how could we say that it is kasher, even though she spat before the removal of the shoe? On this, the Gemara answers, the Seder is not ma'akiv, and therefore it is kasher in the Eved, even if she first was Reikik and only afterwards did she remove the shoe. Now the Ritva explains that even though it says in the Pasuk, Kacha Ye'ase Le'ish, and we know that generally Kacha is always the Lashon of Ikuva, that it is Ma'akev to be done in this specific way, Zok the Ritva, Hachi Gemir Luhu, they had a Kabbalah, that there is no Ikuv when it comes to the Seder of the spinning and the removal of the shoe. But rather, the only ikav is, as far as Rabbi Eliezer, anything which is an action is ma'akiv, the hain of the spinning and the removing of the shoe. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Akiva, only something which is a ma'isa be'ish, which is the removal of the shoe, is ma'akiv. But Al-Kopanim, as far as the Seder, they had a Kabbalah that this is not ma'akiv. Now the Gemara then brings a story that there was a Yavam who came before Rav Ami. Rav Abba Bar Mamo was sitting in front of him. Raka Kamikami Detachlut, she ended up spitting before she removed the shoe. Rav Ami told her, "Chalaitzla v'shar latigra, now remove the shoe, and it will be over with." Rav Abba asked, "V'habainon meirak, but doesn't she need a spit?" So he told him back, "Harakakula, she already did spit." The Gemara asks, "What's the big deal? Let her go ahead and spit a second time." And that the Gemara answers, "Nafik mine churba." Something bad could come out of it if we tell her to spit a second time. Why? Because if she spits a second time, people might say that the first rikika less be mashasha was nothing, and therefore they'll come to allow a chalutza to marry the brothers. Akoponim is mavur in the Gemara that even though me'ikar adin she is yaitse with the spitting that comes before chalitza sandal. However, since in the pasuk the seder is first the removal of the shoe and only afterwards rikika, if not for the fact that there would this be kilkel that would come out, we would have told her to spit again in order to mekayim the seder the way it's written in the pasuk. Based on this Gemara, the paiskim want to come out with a chiddush lahalacha. In the Shalosh Yeshuvos Torah Lishma in Siman Aleph, he talks about a shaila where someone who did not have his talis available, all he had was his tefillin, and therefore he put on his tefillin first, and afterwards they bring him his talis. And the question is he mechuyev to remove his tefillin in order that he should first be levish the talis and then the tefillin? In order to mekayim the halacha, that the levisha should be keseder, the seder is to first the talis and then the tefillin. And who had then a similar question, someone who did not have a tefillin shel yad, and all he put on was a tefillin shel reish, and then they bring him his tefillin shel yad. So should he first remove his tefillin shel reish in order to mekayim the proper order of first placing the tefillin shel yad and only afterwards the tefillin shel reish, or not? That was the question that was phrased to this pasuk. So the Torah Lishma writes that besides for the reason why we first put on talis and then the tefillin, al tamalim b'kaidash ve'ein meridin, one is supposed to go up in Kedusha. The Beis Yosef is mavur another two reasons. Number one, the Beis Yosef says, because tader v'she'enu tader, tader kaidem. We know the halacha is that if you have one mitzvah, which is done much more often than another mitzvah, so tader v'she'enu tader, tader kaidem. Talis is called tader, because tzitzis is noig even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Mashenkin tefillin is considered the enu tader, because it is only noig during the weekday. So he says that's one reason the Beis Yosef writes why first do the talos and then the tefillin. And number two, the Beis Yosef writes that tzitzis is shakal k'neged all mitzvahs. Tzitzis is equal to all the mitzvahs, and therefore it is din to be makdim it before the tefillin. Then the Torah Lishma proceeds to be mechia from our sugya, that we see if not for the fact that there will be this extra gezera, if she would go ahead and spit a second time, we would have been mechayiv the Yavama to go ahead and spit another time in order that the Seder should be in the proper order of removing of the shoe and then chalitza. He says, if so, who had been over here? He feels that psak is a person should remove his tefillin in order to be able to first put on his talis and afterwards the tefillin to do it in the proper order. And who had been, he should remove his tefillin shel reish in order to first put on the tefillin shel yad and then the tefillin shel reish. And that's how he paskins halacha l'mais. The Gemara further in the sugya tells us a story with Levi, that Levi once came to a city where they had asked from Levi three questions. The question number one was, a gidemis mau shetachlitz, a yavama who is an amputee, she's missing her arms, what's the halacha with her as far as chalitza is concerned? Rashi explains the question is she allowed to remove the shoe with shineha with her teeth? Gemara says, Lehavet b'yadeh, Levi did not know the answer, Asa shol b'midrasha, he came to ask the question in the Beis Medrash, and they answered him, Miksiv v'choltza b'yad, does it say that she has to remove the shoe by hand? All it says in the pasuk is v'choltza, she must remove the shoe, and therefore it is kasha for her to remove the shoe with her teeth as well. Now in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simen Tafresh Nun Aleph Sift Alad, brings down halacha as far as the mitzvah of netilas wool of an asterisk. And the chaver paskins, adam she'ein layad, a person who's missing a hand, noitel halulav v'asterisk bizroyeg. So, with one hand he takes the lulav, and the asterisk he takes with his arm. He doesn't have a hand, but he has an arm. The asterisk is taken by the arm. Now the Magen Avraham over there in Sifkatin Yud brings down from the Rekeach, that the Rekeach as well echoed this same Yisayin, that someone who only has one hand, it's better for him to go ahead and take the lulav in one hand and the esrig in his arm, Bavas Achas, like this, he's taking both Minim at one shot, rather than taking the Lulav in his hand and afterwards taking the Esrog in his hand, even though the Halacha is that if one takes the Dal Minim Zachar, Zel, one is Yotze. However, the Milo of taking the Bavas Achas supersedes this, even though one of the Minim is being taken Bizrayay with his arm. Then the Rekel goes further and he brings a riot to this Yisoid, that one could go ahead and be Yaitzeh with taking the Esrog in his arm, from the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Hei. The Gemara over there talks about a Mitzayra who's missing his thumb, where the din is that blood needs to be placed on the Bayhan Yad. Over there the Gemara says he places it on Mekayma, on the area where the thumb used to be, and one is Yaitzeh with that. Zokter Rekeah, so from there we see this Yisayt, that even though you're not actually putting it on the bayin itself, on the thumb itself, you're putting it on mekaymai, that's good enough. And Huadin over here, even though he's taking the esrog bizrayay with his arm, not with his hand, one is still yaitzu with that. The Magen Avraham, however, is bothered by the words of the Rekeach. What is the raya of the Rekeach from over there by the Mitzayra, who doesn't have a bayin, over there at Sagib and Sinal mekaymai? We know this is only the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer. However, the Rabbanan, who he paskin like, they hold that a Mitzayra who does not have a Bayan Yad or a Bayan Regal, ain't late to Hara Elamis. The truth is, he's not allowed to place it, have the blood placed on the Makam where the Bayan used to be. And so paskins the Rambam in Perikay, Mehuchas Mukhusar Kaparo. If so, according to the Rambam, it would seem, it's better for the person to take the Lulav and the Esrog Bazachar Zeh, using his hand. However, at the end, the Magen Avraham comes out that Efsher, that when it comes to over here, the Rambam would be Maskim, though when it comes to Mitzayra, he holds one's not Yaitse on the Makam, but by Lulav and Esrog, it's better to take the Lulav in one hand than the Esrog Bizrayay, because over here, the Torah does not say, L'kachdim biyad. The Torah doesn't say to take the Lulav and Esrog with your hand. The Torah just says, L'kachdim. And therefore, it is a kim l'kachdem, even if the esrog is being taken bizrayay in his arm. And the Magen Avraham shtel su argamar. Magen Avraham says we find the same concept in Perek Yud Beis, the Yavamis, and in the Kavanah of the Magen Avraham is l'chayr ar sugya, where argamar says that it's good enough for the Yavama to remove the shoe with her teeth, because since the Torah does not say the chaltza biyad, she has to remove the shoe with her hand. Therefore, the chaltza is niskayim even with her teeth. And Huadin, the Magen Avraham is telling this too. Since the Torah does not say l'kachtem biyad, the Torah just says l'kachtem. Therefore, it suffices for the l'kicha of the lulav and esrog to be done with the person's arm. And so writes the Gra over there in Shulchan Aruch and Sifkat and Dalid, in Divrei Amaskul Adam. He says, look in the Beis Yosef that he quotes the Rekeach. However, the Rekeach is only matter this because he shtelt to the Gemara that it's similar to a person who's missing a Bayin Yad or Bayin Regal, where it's okay to just put it on the Kaimai. Zok the guy in Lainera. It doesn't seem that the Rekeach is accurate in this. Rather, the Pshat is, like the Gemara says in Yavamis, Miksiv v'chaltza v'chulu, and he means like the Magen Avraham, and so writes the guy in V'chein Kasa Magen Avraham, in the same way the Sugin Yavamah says, Hayyaisa doesn't say the Chalsa Biyad, so Melo can be in a sky and even with the teeth. So Huadin, when it comes to Lakachtan Lachem Biyam Marishain, since it does not say Lakachtan Biyad, so Nilkicha is in Skyim Bizraya just as well. So it comes out that both according to Magen Avraham and the Vilna Gaon, there's a raya from our Sugya as far as this halacha, that when it comes to Netila Sul of an Esrog, it's enough to be taken with just the person's arm. You don't need dafka the yad, since it doesn't say l'kachtem biyad, similar to our sugya, since it doesn't say v'chaltza biyad, therefore it's good enough for her to do it with just her teeth. Now in our sugya we come out that since by chalitza it does not say v'chaltza biyad, therefore Rashi says even kasha for her to remove the shoe by using her teeth. However, the Shari Tshuva over there in Shulchan Aruch and Simfkat in Yud Aleph brings down to the Mari Malchai that he holds as well, that someone who does not have hands or arms, Yito Bishin of Halul of the Esrog, he should pick up the Lul of an Esrog using his teeth, using his mouth. Similar to what we find by Chalitza, that she's able to do Chalitza with her teeth, since it doesn't say V'chaltza biyad. However, the Shari Tshuva himself takes issue with this. He says it's Kashalani is daiti to say that someone could go ahead and take a Lul of an Esrog using his teeth. It would seem to him this is not B'chal Lekicha, this is not the darach of taking something, and therefore one should not be able to be yaitzeh with using his mouth. Now the Shari Tshuva is a little bit hard to understand what exactly is bothering him. L'chayr, when it comes to removal of the shoe as well, it's not the normal darah for a person to remove a shoe using their teeth, but Hayais, the Torah does not say v'chalatz biyad. The Torah just says v'chalatz. Therefore, the Gemara says it will be kasher for her to remove the shoe with her teeth. So if so, ma'ishno l'kichas luluv and esrig from chalitza sasandal. Since by luluv and esrig as well, it just says l'kachdem, so l'chayr, the Mari Malchay is right. Why would it not be the same thing that should be kasher to be done even with the teeth? However, this chiddush that we find in the Shari Tshuva, that he wants to be mechalik between chalitzas asandal and the tilas luv and esrig, because lekicha is mashma, a lashon of a normal darach lekicha, we find in the Shari Tshuva's hilchos ketanis, chelik aleph simen ayin zayin as well. Over there as well, he talks about a case of a gidaim who does not have any arms. Is he able to take luv and esrig with his teeth? On this he writes that kemendumali would seem to me, Nishab is a chrein, I seem to remember, recall, ein lekicha el biyad. Lekicha, taking, is always with the hands. And then he proceeds to bring a riot to this from the Shal Sheshuvah Sarajba, Simon Elef Reish, where the Rajba over there is discussing taking the luav in one's left hand, and on this the Rajba says, Atta yiminksiv, does the Torah say the luav must be taken specifically in the right hand? All it says is lekicha. And therefore, since all it says is to take, what then taking in the left hand is taking? Now the question is, why doesn't the Rajma say even stronger? That since it doesn't say l'kicha b'yad, the din is you can even take it with your teeth. From the Rajma would be mashma, that since seif kol seif it says l'kachdem, the Rajma understands mean taking b'yad. And just the Rajma is saying, as far as being bedafka, the right hand, Hayais doesn't say yamin in the Torah, l'kicha could be niskayim as well with the left hand. As I zogt, the Shalos Teshuvos, Hilchos Ketanis. Also in the Sefer Bikur Yaakov in Simen Tafresh and Aleph Sifkat Yuches, brings down this big mevucha in the Achrayim, is the netilah of luv and aser kasher to be done with someone's teeth, his mouth, with the das Mari Malchay brought in the Birka Yosef is, that with Shinov is called the l'kicha, similar to what we find by Chalitza. The Aruch Haner proceeds to say that it would seem to him a raya to the Mari Malkai. That where it says l'kicha, there is no t'nai, you need l'kicha dafka in the hand, and who adin would be kosher with the teeth. Zok the Aruch Haner, because it says in Shulchan Aruch, they're even allowed to take the esher with the arm. So we see l'kicha obviously is not limited only to the hand. Memelo hu adin, the teeth would be the same thing, the same way in Shulchan Aruch it says, the arm is good enough, so hu adin with the teeth as well should be good enough. Another raya, the Aruch Haner says, that the Lashon L'kicha we find is not bedafka limited to the hand, because it's kapaskint in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Simen Zayin, that if someone has a knife set up with a gilgal with a whale, that he goes ahead and causes it to do a shchita by causing the whale to move, and he's megalgalit beragla, he causes it to turn with pedals with his feet, the din is the shchita is kasher. Now the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Tezayin learns out that Shchita b'mechubar is possible. If someone would go ahead and do Shchita with a knife that's attached to the ground, it then is such a Shchita is not kasher, because you learn out from the Pasuk, Vayikach es amacheles lishchait es b'nai, that Shchita needs a lekicha, and something which is mechubar is not considered lekicha. If so, we see that though there is a din lekicha when it comes to Shchita, still, when a person pedals and causes the knife to turn and do a shchita on the animal, that is considered lekicha. So even though it's a lekicha idei davar achar, but still he's doing it through his foot. So why is that considered a lekicha? Obviously we see even lekicha beragel is considered a lekicha. And therefore hu adin lekicha with the teeth as well should be able to be kasher to be used for luv and esrig. The Aruch Haner ends off that one cannot ask on him from the sugya in Yuma, where the Gemara in Yuma Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph talks about as far as the Kohen Gadol going in lifnai lifnim on Yom Kippur to bring the Ketores, where in his hands he has the Ketores itself, and he's bringing in the Machta as well, and the Gemara is trying to figure out how exactly is he going to maneuver this. And at one point the Gemara says, well, maybe with his teeth he'll go ahead and carry in the Machta, and then place it on the ground that way. On that, the Gemara says, "Hashtu lefnei melech basav adam." One does not do like this lefnei melech machan lachem kadosh baruch hu alachas kama v'kama. So it would seem that there is halacha when it comes to mitzvahs. One cannot go ahead and do it with his teeth. It's not derech kavod. And if so, that itself should be a paisel that one cannot take the lulav and asig with his teeth. And this, the Aruch HaNer says, that's no raya. Perhaps this is only b'negei avodas kahuna and befrat avodah lufnai lufnim. But when it comes to asiyas hamitzvah, that's not considered a pagam and kavod klapei maila if it is done with his teeth. And b'chlal over here is a einis. He has no other choice. Umeil, it's not considered a pagam in the kavod hamitzvah. And this, that it's pasha by the Aruch HaNer, that since it says in Shulchan Aruch that one can take the lulav and asterisk even with his arm, so we see lekicha does not need dafka the hand, and umeil hu adin would be kasher with the own teeth. The emes is that in Shear Mitzvayim l'halacha, he says that perhaps there's a chilek between the two. Because we find when it comes to putting on tefillin, where the Torah says, k'shartem l'ais al yadecha, on your yad, yet we find that one puts his tefillin on his arm. So we find even in the Lashon HaTorah that the arm is considered the yad. And therefore, Zakta Shar Mitzvayim l'halacha, that though it says in Shulchan Aruch that one could be yaitze netil hasluv and aser with his arm, that's because the arm is also b'chlal yad. And therefore, there's no raya from there that hu adin, a person could do it with his teeth. B'chayr, the pshat in the Aruch HaNer, where the Aruch HaNer feels this is a raya, because the Aruch HaNer understands that the crux of the question, whether one could do netil hasluv and aser with one's teeth, is dependent upon, do I say, that lekicha taking is normally with a person's hand. And therefore, Zakta Aruch HaNer, the raya is not just the language whether the arm is called b'chlal yad or not. Rather, there's a fundamental question over here. Taking is taking something which is limited only to the hand. And therefore, the Aruch HaNer is saying that the arm and the teeth, as far as this is concerned, is the same question. If I say taking is dafka with a person taking with his hand, so mela hu adin d'zraya should not be kasher. And Zakta Aruch HaNer, from the fact that the arm is kasher, so you see lekicha is not limited dafka to what we know as the hand, mela hu adin lekicha b'shinayim should also be good. Now, as far as the etzav chiddush that comes out from our sugya, the bechalitza, she's allowed to go ahead and be chalitz b'shineha, since the Torah only writes v'chalitz and it does not stress v'chalitz b'yad. The Birchas Avram asks on this a very strong question, because the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph teaches us that according to the Tanakama, Unetatem by Arla, the Torah says about planting a fruit tree, and there's halachas of Arla and Arnaig, over there the Gemara says that Unetatem is Mashma, we're talking about an individual planting a fruit tree. Afuke Arabim, a public planting a fruit tree. Rashi over there explains, because the netatim is mashman individual, the ain derech rabim luntaya. It's not the derech generally for a whole public together to plant a fruit tree. Now the Rabbi Chanan over there in Kaivet Shiurim, in Mesechtas Pesachim on Eis Sadivav, points out from this Rashi we see a klal gadol in kol dinei Torah, that wherever the Torah talks about doing something, the Torah is referring to the normal derech. He says that is the same logic why an achila shalei kederech, one is pater on, if someone eats not in a normal fashion, and hu adin by mitzvahs, if one eats not in a normal way, he cannot fulfill the mitzvah, because whenever the Torah says to do an act, the Torah is referring to the normal way of doing the act. And if so, when the Torah says plant a tree, since it's not the derech of a rabbin to plant a fruit tree, the Torah must be referring to a yachid. If so, ask the Birchas Avram, granted that it does not say by chalitza the chalitza biyad, all it says is to remove the shoe, but levadai, this should go into the regular klal, that it's not the derech to be chalitz with the shinayim, with the teeth, and the Torah should be talking about the normal derech. The Birchas Avram wants to answer, we have to say that it's mucha from here, that Rabbi Chanan's yusayit is really totally dependent upon each individual. And when the Torah talks about something, the Torah is talking about what the normal derech is by each individual. And since by agidim, since by someone who has no arms, the derech to be chaylet is with the teeth, if so, the Torah is talking about such a situation as well. And this is not included in the issue of shalei kederech. The Gemara just means to say, if we would just say b'feirish v'chaltze biyad, so then there would be a new gzeres hakasa. The chalitza has to be done only with the hand. But now that the Torah does not say v'cholze b'yad, so the Torah is talking about a normal darach. So by someone with no hands, indeed, the normal darach of removing the shoe is with the teeth. Now moving along, there's a very fascinating question that spirals out from our Gemara, which the Marsham and the Avnei Nezer dealt with in their times. In Shalas Yeshuvas Marsham Chelik Aleph Simen Yedaled, over there he's writing a tshuva to the Avnei Nezer. The story was, there was a woman in the city of Addis who married a man, and what happened was, afterwards she found out that he was a tremendous balmum. It was impossible for her to live with him. She ran away from him. After time, they convinced her to go back, and she tried again a few times to be with him for a few days. It was not possible. Eventually, this fellow ended up dying without any children, and he left a brother from Dina Sayam across the ocean, very far away, miles away, in America, in the city of Portland. Now this fellow who lived in Portland, the brother of the person who died, so he was a Rasha, and he was a Kaifer Batayra, Akedekach, he was Mevaza, the Rav from Idis. He asked him to perform for this woman, the Inyan Chalitza, and he laughed at the whole mitzvah and the Torah. And now the question is what to do. At this point, at least they got him to agree that if the woman will make a shliach, will travel to him in Portland to do the chalitza process, this much he'll agree to do. The question is based on the fact, is there halacha of shlichas mitzad the isha? Could a yavama go ahead and make a shliach for the chalitza process? This question was brought in front of the Avnei Nezer, and the Rav from Idis brought down that which it says in the Sefer Yad Shloima from Reb Shloima Hillel, who was the dayan in the Kehillah in Varsha. The Yad Shloima wants to argue that this chalitza does not work ayde shliach, is only referring to the yavam, the one who the chalitza is being done to, the shoe is being removed from him, the shliach of the chalitz, on that such a thing, shlichas does not work. Because we know a concept that by a mitzvah shebegufay, shlichas does not work. Like the Taisus Rid writes in the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin, and like the Tais HaChayshen explains in Simon Kuf Pei Beis, that by a mitzvah de b'mela, something which there is no action involved, that there's no ma'isa, shlichas does not work. And over here, the yavam is just passive. He's just sitting there, standing with the shoe, and she's removing the shoe from him. He's not doing an actual action, b'shas the chalitza. He's just passively allowing the shoe to be removed from his foot. And therefore, making a shliach could only work if we say that the foot of the shliach is like his foot. And that we don't say. He said it's similar to anachas tefillin, the Ktzais writes, the same way you can't make someone a shliach to put on tefillin for you. The Ktzais says, because at the end of the day, it's not the person, it's not considered his hand where the tefillin is being placed. Mashenka and the Isha, who's doing an action, on an action, it's shy to make a shliach. That's what the Yad Shloima wanted to say. L'maisa teichadvarim, Marsham brings them from Avnei Nezer, that Avnei Nezer argued, now from our sugya we see that even when it comes to the Isha, she cannot make a shliach for her chelik of the chalitza procedure. And his raya is, because our sugya talks about a yavama gidemis, a yavama who has no arms, where the din is chalatzes bishineha, she is still able to perform the chalitza procedure by removing the shoe with her teeth. Zakta Avnei Nezer, if the halacha is that the Isha is allowed to make a shliach for her part of the chalitza, so if so, why should she have to go through the whole tircha of removing the shoe with her teeth? Let her just go ahead and make a shliach. Elal karchel zakta avnei nezer, it would seem from here that the halacha is that when it comes to the woman as well, the woman cannot make a shliach for the chalitza that she must do. However, the Marsham writes back to the avnei nezer that he feels that there is no raya from our sugya, because we can say that be'emes, La'olam, I'll tell you, shlichas does work mitzad the yavama as well when it comes to chalitza. And yet still, our Gemara has to say that she is able to perform the chalitza by removing it with her teeth. Because we know a klal when it comes to shlichas, that something, v'midi de'il le'matzi avid le'matzi mashvi shliach, something that the mishaleach is not able to perform, he cannot make an agent to perform that action for him. And like the Gemara learns out in the Gemara Masechta the Kedushin, on the Afchav Gimel Amabez, where the Gemara has a question whether the Kehanim are viewed as shluchim of Klal Yisrael to bring the carbon, or are they shluchim from Hashem? And on that the Gemara says it must be that they are shluchim from Hashem and not shluchim from us, Because mi kamidi, is there anything, the ilai matzi avid, where the person himself cannot perform this act? Umatzi mashvi shliach, and he can make an agent, make a shliach to perform the act for him? Of course not. If a person himself cannot do an action, so you cannot send someone as a replacement for him. And therefore the Marsham says, avada, at the end of the day, the Yavama could go ahead and make a shliach for another person to remove the shoe. But the Gemara still has to know whether she herself is capable of doing the Maisa Chalitza. Would it be kasha for her to do it if she removes it with her teeth? Because if the case is that she is not kasha to do it with her teeth, if so, a shliach also would not suffice. The Marsham brings a riot to his Yesaid from a Taisi Yishanim Masechtas Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel, where the Taisi Yishanim brings a raya that we must say that this that a get is written by his cipher is not going with the inyan of shlichus, that he is a messenger of the husband. Because there's no din that the husband needs to write his get, that we have to say that the cipher is a messenger of his. Zak Taisi Yishanim, I'll bring you a raya. Because if there will be halacha of shlichus, if so, someone who's missing his hands will not be able to tell a cipher to write a get for him. Because since he can't do it, he can't make a shliach. Zok to Marsham, so you see what I'm saying. You see that the Gemara's kavana just means that she obviously has to be able to be chayutz b'shineha, because if she cannot be chayutz b'shineha, hu adin, she cannot make a shliach. But ein hachanami, once the Gemara comes out that Yavama is allowed to be chayutz b'shineha, hu adin, she could go ahead and make a shliach for the chalitza procedure. Now later on, in Shaul Shuv's Marsham, there's another tshuva, in Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Lamed Hei. Over there, the Avnei Nezer explains to the Marsham what his kavana was. Avnei Nezer says, I agree to you, mitzad lamdas, logically, what you're saying. That the Gemara must say that a Yavama is able to be chalitz b'shineha, because if not for the fact that she herself could perform the chalitza procedure, she would not be able to make a shliach. Zokta Avnei Nezer, my raya wasn't from the Gemara. Rather, my raya was from the words of the Paiskim, where the Paiskim just bring on this halacha that a Yavama who has no arms is chaletz b'shineha. Zalta Avnei Nezer, if the halacha is that now she can make a shliach, so the Paiskim should have told us, by the way, there's a much easier way how to do it. Once she's able to be chaletz b'shineha, now the halacha is she could just send a shliach to remove the shoe. On this, the Marsham says he feels that's not a raya. The Paiskim are just bringing down the way it's brought down in the Shas, but one cannot bring a raya from there that she cannot send a shliach for the chalitza. The Avnei Nezer later then says perhaps it could bring a raya to the opposite, that a Yavama is allowed to send a shliach for chalitza. From the words of Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, where he writes in the Sefer Avas Yonasan Al HaTorah and Parshas Vayechi, he has a gerson ar Gemara Gidemes Chaletzes Bepia. A gidemes, a woman, Yavam with no arms, is able to do chalitza with her mouth. And Zatur Bienis and Eibshitz, the kavana is, she could do chalitza by mouth, meaning by being memana shliach, by telling a shliach to go in her place. On this, the Marsham answers him back, that's very good according to that girsa, but what about our girsa that says chalatzis bishineha? And therefore the Marsham comes out, lahalach l'maisa, even though he has different svaras to say that perhaps there is a makam to imat to her to do chalitza yidei shliach, but since all the other paiskim are against it, therefore he's not going to go ahead and connect them and be imat to her to send the shliach to do the chalitza. One final interesting question that comes out from our sugya in the Shal Shuvas Ramam Mipanoi in Simul Lameches, he talks about a question of a cipher going ahead and writing a pair of tefillin, a mezuzah, with his mouth. He said it's possible, because all we find is gidemes chaletzis b'shineha. He says, because over there is no halacha of yamin. There's no halacha that you need the right hand. Ashenki, when it comes to ksiva, that there's a special halacha of yamin. When it comes to dvarim shebekedusha, the Sefer Atshuma writes, it's min haTorah, because since it's not the darach ksiva b'smol, like the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Gimel, so kol shekein, it's not the darach ksiva b'peh. However, the Yavitz in the Sefer Maruk Tzia, he argues with Rami Panay, and he says the same way that by Gidemes she's allowed to do chalitza with her teeth, because the Torah just says the chalitza. It doesn't say the chalitza the yad. Who had in the Torah says the chesavtem al mezuzais, The Torah doesn't write chesavtem biyad, and therefore for the very same reason it should be kasher, even ksiva the pet. The Gemara further brings down that when Levi came to the city, a second question was posed to him. They asked him, Yavama shirakaka dam mahu. What is the din if a Yavama spits blood? They answered in the Bay Midrasha, does it say v'yarka reik, that she must spit spittle? All it says is v'yarka. And since all it says is v'yarka, so when she splits blood, it is kasher as well. And the way Rashi understands the sugya, that the Gemara means to say, if it would have said v'yarka reik, then I would say it has to be that everything she spits is only spittle, nothing else. However, since it just says v'yarka stam, so therefore we say it is kasher even if she spits blood, since within the blood it's the Yashal Adam B'lay Tichtuche Reich. Within the blood there are definitely particles of spittle, so that's good enough since there's no Xeris HaKasuv of the Yarka Reich that she must only spit spittle. So B'kitzer, it's coming out from Rashi, that Rashi understands our sugya, that our sugya is working together with that which the Gemara writes later on. Later on, the Gemara says, Shalchalei Lavu, the Shmuel, they sent a message to the father, Shmuel, Yavama Shiraka Dam Tachlet, a Yavama that spat blood, so now she cannot further do Yibam, it's considered a Chalitza Psula, V'Shi'iyashil Adam B'lai Tichtuche Reich, it's impossible for the blood not to have particles of spit within it. Rashi learns it over here as well, when he answered, Miksev Yarka Reich, he was saying, similar to what it says in the Sugya later on, since there is no Xeris HaKasav of Dafka spittle and not something else, so if so, it's okay with spittle mixed together with blood. However, the Rashi over here in Simen Yud Beis takes issue with Rashi Pshat, and the Rashi learns there are two things going on over here. The ones who answered in the Beis Medrash, Miksev Yarka Reich, they hold that even if it's completely made up of blood, it's still considered a good spit. And so writes the Ravid, it's a time in the Mestabra, it makes sense to learn this way, since it does not say Dafka Reich in the Torah, all it says is V'yarka, and therefore it is kosher even if it's completely comprised of blood. And the Ravid says, there's no stira to this that it says later on, that I'yav shel adam v'loy tichtuche reich. That Bryce is talking about, where she does the Rekika not in the Zman of the Chalitza procedure. She stam goes ahead and spits. So the din is that even Shalei Makam Mitzvah, spitting al kapanim, is able to make a psul. When it comes to spitting, being able to make a psul, over there, the way the Karban Nisanul explains, they only made a gzera in a normal case. And since a normal case is only with spittle, therefore without the svara, the Eshel Adam, the light of Tuche Reich, they would not have made a psul midrabanan, for now the Yavam to Miyabim the Yavama. However, earlier on, what they were answering in the base Medrash was talking about, where the spitting is done at the actual time of the Chalitza. There was a removal of the shoe as well, and she spat. Over there we're saying that the spitting of a thing which is totally comprised of blood is also considered a kashra spitting when it comes to chalitza. So it comes out we have here a big machlekes between Rashi on one side, and on the other side we have the Ravid and the Rash. According to Rashi's Mahalach in the Sugya, the only time it's kasher, spitting of blood, is only because we say within the blood there are particles of reich, of spittle. Mashenkin, according to the Ravid and the Rash, even if she'll go ahead and be reichik kulei dam, it's still considered v'yarka, because the Torah doesn't say v'yarka reich, and therefore it is considered a kasher of spitting. Now the shaila is, what exactly is the site of the machlekes here between Rashi and the Ravid and the Rash? The Birchas Avram wants to say that there's a fundamental machlekes what it means v'yarka in the Torah. And the Torah says the Yavama must be v'yarka. According to Rashi, the yarka is only possible if there's a metzias of spittle. Without that, it does not have a shem rekika. And therefore, Rashi is forced to say that even earlier in the Gemara, when they answered in the Beis Medrash, Miksa V'yarka Reich, all they meant to say was that if it would say V'yarka Reich, it would mean the thing would be totally have to be comprised merely of spittle. Masha'enke, now that it says V'yarka Stam, the male, even if she spits blood, it's okay because Yasha without particles of Reich. But according to Rashi, without there being actual Reich spittle involved, it's felt, it's not considered V'yarka, it's not considered a kiyum of V'yarka. Masha'enkin, according to the Rashi and the Ravid, they hold V'yarka is the action of taking of whatever fluid is in one's mouth and sending it outside. And therefore they hold, even if it's total dam, afilu halchit is kasher, as far as the chalitza is concerned. Now as far as the third child that they asked Levi, what is the pshat in the pasuk, v'agad l'chas ha-rashim b'ksav emes, the Maal tells Daniel, I will tell you that which is written down, which is true. And it asks the question, is there ksav she'enei emes? On that the Gemara explains, it means, k'dir ha-shmul bar ami b'shem Reb Yonasan, where he said that a gzar din which has a shmul with it, enei nikra, is not ripped up. Like it's learned that from the pasuk, l'chein if shabati l'beis eli, im yiskaper oven beis eli b'zevach u'mincha. There was a shvuah given to the house of Eli because his children were mezazel in Kadshim. Therefore, Lediris, their children, would die young. Afterwards, the Gemara brings down from Rabbah that Rabbah learned that even though Einem is kaper b'zevachu mincha, the pasuk writes, however, there could be found kapara even to the families of Beis Eli al yidei Taira. Abaye says, b'zevachu mincha Einem is kaper, but the kapara could be found through Torah and Gemilus Chasadim. The Gemara then tells us Rabbah, who learned Torah, lived for 40 years, though he came from Beis Eli, and Abai, who was Isaac, both in Torah and Gemilus Chasadim, he lived until he was 60. The Marsha explains there are really three Gimel Amudei Olam, the Mishnah Perek Yavis says, three pillars that the world stands upon: Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasadim. And therefore, Avodah was not able to be used as an oifen of kapara for the children of Eli, because since they're mevaza the Avodah, ein kateger nasa saneger. However, we are still left with the other two amudim of Torah and Gemilus Chasadim, and therefore Rabbah was Isaac be'iker with Torah, so he was zaycha for another 20 years to his life, and he lived, instead of dying young at 20, he died at 40. And Abaye, who was Isaac, both in Torah and Gemilus Chasadim, so he was added an extra 40 years, and therefore he died when he was 60. Now later on, the Gemara brings down, Rishmul bar Unya says, B'shem Rav, how do we know that a gzar din that is upon a tzibor, even if it was already sealed, nikra, it's ripped up? Because it says in the pasuk, Mika Hashem aleikeinu b'chol kareinu elav, who is like Hashem that at any time we call to him, a tefillah on his gabel. And the Gemara asks, but don't we have its other pasuk which seems to say that Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzai, that there are only certain times when Hashem is found, a person is immediately answered. Gemara explains that there is no contradiction, it depends. Habi Yachid, Habi Tzibor. An individual, there's only Behi Matzai, Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzai, a specific time when his tefillahs could work, even to be Kareya Gzar Din. When it comes to a tzibor, by then, kol zman, they daven, as a tzibor, they have the ability to be kareya the gzar din. The Gemara explains, yachid emas, when does even an individual have this power? Her Nachman says, v'shem rab baravua, this is referring to the asara yamim, shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippur. Now the Turi Evan in Masechus Rosh Hashanah and Daf Yud Ches asks a very strong question. If that's the case, then a yachid only has the power to mevatel gzar din during the Asaris Yimei Tshuva. We find by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, where the Navi came and told him, Kimeis Atav Leitichya, it was nigzer upon him that he would die and he would not live. And the Gemara tells us that Vayesav Chizkiyahu Panav Elakir, Gemara in Brachin says that his tefillahs were answered. Now he was a Yachid, and this story did not happen during the Asaris Yimei Tshuva. This story took place Pesach time. Zakta Turi Evan, we have forced to say that since Chizkiyahu was a king, therefore the tzibor was like dependent upon him, and a melech has a status like the tzibor, and his tefillahs could be answered, even not Basaris Yimei Tshuva. The Aruch Haner says this mahalach of Turi Evan is mentioned already in the Shalos Hashivus HaRashba in Siman Kuf Memches. The Aruch Haner feels, you could say, another answer, that when the Navi told him, it says, Hashem said, Hinni Maisif Al Yamecha, I'm going to add to the years of your life. So he says the pshat over there was not that the gzar din was ripped up, but rather new years were added on to his life, and because of that it's not called going against the gzar din, and that's why his tefillahs were nana. The Mishnah taught us that if a yavama is a ketana and she does chalitza, the din is the chalitza is not valid. The Gemara explains that Yehuda Marau says this is all the opinion of Remeir. Because according to Remeir, though the Torah just writes when it comes to the Yavam, the Lashon of Ish, that he must be a Gadol, But Rameir holds we are on Makish Ishalish, and who had in the Yavama, the woman must be a Gedola as well. However, the Chachamim, where the Gemara proceeds to prove, which is Rabbi Yaisi's opinion, he holds the Torah only writes Ish when it comes to the man. However, when it comes to the Yavama, the Isha, she is Kshera, Ben Gedola, Ben Katana, whether she's a Gedola or Katana, she is Kasher to perform the Chalitza procedure. The Gemara afterwards is Mayrach Timaychiach, that the Chachamim over here is a Shita of Rabbi Yaisi, who holds that a Katana is Kshera l'Chalitza. First, the Gemara brings down a story with Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe that they were sitting, and one of them opened up and began to say, "Hamispal sarf shiita einav lamata." Person who's mispal has to place his eyes downward, meaning facing, thinking Eretz Yisrael. Shenam, like it says in the pasuk, "V'haya einai v'libi sham kol hayamim." The pasuk says that the Shechina remains in the Beis Hamikdash kol hayamim. And the other man d'amar said that no, we're going with the girsa of the Bach, libay lamala, the person's heart should be upwards to Shemayim, Shenem, like the pasuk says, nisal avaveinu el kapayim. The Marsha explains that their machlekes is, after the churban Beis Hamikdash, what is the proper makam where a person's focus should be b'shas tefillah. The first man d'amar darshins from v'haya einai v'libi sham kol hayamim, which is a reference to the Shechina, that even after the Churban, the Shechina remains in the Makam Migdash, and that's where the person's focus should be. Ashenken Adaman the Amar says that no, the person's focus should be, now the Shechina has gone Lamala, the focus should be up in Shemayim. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi came along and said over Rabbi Shara, b'shem his father, that Einav Lamata v'libay Lamala. His eyes should be facing downward, and his heart should be facing upwards. And this Zakta Marshal is to Merame is that though the Ikar Shechina now is Bashamayim, but his eyes still should be Lamata because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mesalik Shechinasai Ligamri from the Makam HaMikdash. However, the Marshal himself ends off with the Tas Kasha because here we're coming out, Libay Lamala, the person's heart should be focused up to Shamayim, and yet in Parak Tzilas HaShachar, in the fourth parak in Mesechtes Brachos we have learned, HaMispal Sarach Sheikhaven Libay, connected base Kodesh HaKadoshim. The one who's mispal, she mechavin his heart, opposite to Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how does this work out with our Gemara, which says, Levi Lamala, his heart should be upwards to Shemayim. He says, perhaps we can answer that connected Kodesh HaKadoshim, what the Gemara means, in Mesechtes Brachos, based on what the Gemara says in the beginning of Mesechtes Tainus, that there's a base Hamigdash Mulmala corresponding to the base Hamigdash Mulmata, and therefore, the two things are true. Libay Lamala is to Shemayim. Where in Shemayim? Keneged the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is Lamala. However, he says it's not so much in that way from the Sugya Masechtas Brachos. The Aruch Haner as well brings down this stira between the two Sugyas. On the one hand, our Sugya says the Kavanah should be Libay Lamala to Shemayim, and yet the Sugya in Brachos says Keneged Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Aruch Haner wants to suggest that Rabbeinu Yoinah Masechtas Brachos in the fifth parak is really bavarning and answering this question, where Rabbeinu Yoinah writes that a person should first be mechashev b'libay, as if he's standing in Shamayim when he gets up to daven, should feel as if he's in Shamayim davening, in order to be meiser from his heart al tanugei of olam hazeh. And after he reaches this madrega, afterwards he could go ahead and think as if he's aymed keneged the kodesh hakadoshim, and therefore the two things are not a stira. The Aruch Haner further wants to say, perhaps we can offer another answer, that kol zman he stands l'hispalel, before he starts thinking at all, he should think as if he's aymed keneged the kodesh hakadoshim. However, b'shas the tefillah itself, then he should be choshev as if he's b'shamayim, as if he went up to Shemayim to mispalel, and he says, he ends off chenirim divrei apaiskim, like this final pshat, that when he's aymed l'hispalel before he actually began to daven, he should think as if he's standing keneged the kodesh hakadoshim. But b'shas tefillah itself, he should feel as if he's in Shemayim talking, as if he went up to Shemayim talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara then proceeds to tell a story where later Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yaisi as well, was the one who said over b'shem his father, Rabbi Yaisi, that when it comes to the question of Chalitza, whether the Yavama must be a Gedola, he says, my father said, Ish Kasav Parsha, when it comes to the Yavam, he must be a Gadol, Aval Isha ben Gedola ben Katana. However, the Isha may be both a Gedola or a Katana. Later on, the Gemara ends off, Rav Ami says, from the words of Rabbi Yaisi, we can learn that katana cheletzes bipu'utais. A katana is allowed to go ahead and do a chalitza, provided that she reached the age of pu'utais, which is the age of 6 or 7, Rashi says, like the Gemara in Masechtas Gittin teaches us on Daf Nun Testament Aleph, ha'pu'utais meklan mekach memkarin memkar b'metaltalin. Once a person reaches the age of a pu'utais, a child reaches that age, 6 or 7, so their mekach is considered a mekach midrabanan. Therefore, as well, b'negei chalitza, since it is no mi'at against Aisha who's a katana, therefore she's kosher as long as she reaches this age because she understands enough to be considered a valid chalitza. The Kaivitz Ha'aris in Simen Samach Vav, Sifkatin Vav, says a very beautiful pshat over here in the Gemara. He says, this halacha that pu'utais, their mekach is a mekach, when it comes to metaltalin, this is a takana derabanan mishum kedei chayeyan, in order they should be able to survive. He says, however, we find this same share of pu'utais when it comes to a din d'iraisa, namely our Gemara, which says, according to Reb Yaisi, a ketana is able to do a chalitza once she reaches the age of pu'utais. Zakter Rabbi Chanan, because there are two halachas as far as a katan is concerned. Number one, there's a halacha by a katan, kol zman, he did not reach b'chlal das, he has a din like a shaita. There's, however, a second halacha of a katan, that even if he's a katan pikeach, we see that he has understanding like a gadol. However, there's a gzeres akasav, that the action of a katan ain't a klum. And this is learned out from the pasuk ish v'lay katan, that a child does not have the ability to be pile achalais kinyan, achalais kedushin, like it's learned out in the Yerushalmi, Perek Dalet, the Ma'aser Sheni, Halacha Gimel, Hakol Maidin, the Yerushalmi says, She'ein Matanase Matana, the Matana of a Katan is worthless, Dilsiv Kiyitain Ish. You need Dafka, Matana of Ish is a Matana, the Matana of a Katan is not considered a Matana. And Hu Adin B'negeya Kedushin, Rashi in Adarm and Perek Hamader, Daf Ayin Gimel writes, Katan ain't kiddush of klum. When a katan is mekadosh a woman, the kiddushin is not valid. The lav bar kichahu, he is not a bar kicha, because it says kiikach ish isha, when a man will take a woman, and therefore his kiddushin is not valid. And hu adin when it comes to chalitza, according to the man, the amr makshin on ishal ish. A katana cannot be chalitz, even if she has das, like a gedaila. However, zakt Rabbi Chanan, according to Rabbi Yaisi, since there is no hakish by chalitza, to be makish ishalish, there is no gzeres hakasav to pasul a katana. But however, you still have the basic issue that the katan or katana needs to have das. Zakter b'chanan, so that what helps us the inyan of pu'utai. Since we find, by takadas al-chamim, we find that the chamim were misakin, that a katan is allowed to go ahead and do a transaction. So obviously the chamim felt that as far as the pashta das is concerned, the age of pu'utais is considered that the katan or the katana has das. And that is halacha ashir dairaisa. That even mi dairaisa, the Torah's mafshivit, are considered a das. And therefore the Gemara k'tshteltsu, that hu adin b'negei chalitza, such an age would be a kashra das as far as chalitza. As kol zman, there is no gzeris hakasav of ish, so then the shir pu'utais is a share of das, even min ha'Torah. And he says that was a chayr pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, a ketana shezinsa baratzen neser al baila. If there's a young girl who's married, who is mezana baratzen, she becomes aser to her husband. And everyone asks on the Rambam, but we know pita ketana einus hu. Even if a ketana is convinced to do an iser, it's viewed as an einus. Rabbi Chanan says the pshat in the Rambam is pashant. The Rambam is talking about a ketana which reached the category of das, the das of pu'utais. Before that, in a chanami, she's considered like a shaita, and even if she's convinced to do the maisa, it's considered a maisa ba'inus. However, once she reaches the share of pu'utais, like we see in our Gemara, that the share of pu'utais is a valid share to be considered a das, even midairaisa, so he says over there, avada, her znus as well, will asa her lebaila. The Gemara brings down, however, that Rava argues with Rav Ami, and he says the share of pu'utais is not good enough, but rather it needs to be higia lainas nadarm. It has to be that the girl already is 11 years old, where her nether, if she'll make a nether, is a valid nether. So that is the age where her chalitza as well will be considered a valid chalitza. As Taisa Kasha, but the Gemara in Nidan Parak Yaitse Daifin says that Rava says a katana, The Gemara says that once she reaches the age where generally a girl brings simanim, she does not need a bedika. However, Rava ends off, however, l'chalitza, she does need a bedika. So we see that according to Rava, ketana cannot do chalitza. Tysus answers, Rava over here is going, I'll leave it to Rav Yossi. Mashenkin, Rava himself in a chanami holds, ashetavi shtei Cyrus. And that's how the Gemara comes out, l'maskan over here as well, the hilchasa, ashetavi shtei Cyrus, until she brings shtei Cyrus, her chalitza is not considered a valid chalitza.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.